lot of gloom and a ray of light.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Stock markets in Asia and Europe staged a little comeback today after yesterday's continued Wall Street slide. The Dow lost another 37 points, down to 6,726. Jason Weisberg is a Wall Street trader with Seaport Securities. He says this market is sinking under the weight of financial stocks.
They're the first to go down. They drag this market down, if you remember correctly. We look for the, we always historically look for the financials to take us up. That's not going to happen now.
Standard & Poor's stock analyst Sam Stovall says the government's attempts to prop up failing businesses, they're getting mixed reviews from investors.
Unfortunately, while they get an A for effort, they get an F for execution because they are not giving a lot of detail, and what they are proposing doesn't sit well with Wall Street.
By the way, President Obama's budget director this morning said it's, quote, way too soon to start judging success or failure here, end quote. Peter Orszag also echoed a statement from the president yesterday about Wall Street. Orszag agreed with Obama that policymakers ought not get caught up in day-to-day swings in the stock market. And on that note, as I mentioned, there was a little optimism in the markets shining from across the Pacific today. Asian markets were up, led by China's Shanghai Composite Index, which zoomed up more than 6%. Marketplace's Scott Tong is with us now from Shanghai. Scott, why all the investor confidence?
A couple reasons today, Bill. Number one, we had some data that's suggesting that China's factories are kind of coming back to life. The exports are falling off a cliff here in China, and these new numbers suggest that the orders are starting to come back, that factory output is starting to turn around, so maybe a sign that China's bottoming out a little bit. The other news out of China is there are rumors that China's great big economic stimulus package is going to get even bigger. They may supersize this stimulus package, which already is more than $500 billion big.
So is there an expert's consensus? Is this a real recovery or irrational exuberance?
You can find 100 economists on either side of that, I think. On the optimistic side, you have this data and some data about power use, that people are turning lights back on and factories back on, that there's starting to be a little bit of life here in the manufacturing side of China's economy. On the other hand, the big question is what's happening to the rest of the world? If the rest of the world falls off a cliff, Japan looks like that's happening, we know what's happening in North America and Europe, then all bets are off for what happens here in China.
Okay, and if China's economy does firm up a bit, what could that mean for the rest of us?
Well, it could mean a little bit. Frankly, China is too small to save the world. All the economists agree on that. It just doesn't have the rich shoppers that Europe and North America have. What it could do is bring back the commodities markets a little bit and bring some confidence to those markets. If China indeed starts to buy more iron ore to make steel, to make more cement, to buy more copper, to make wire, to put inside all the new buildings and things that China's going to be building with this stimulus package, then the commodities markets, raw materials markets, could start to come back a little bit. That's what we'll look for if you're optimistic later on this spring.
Marketplace's Scott Tong in Shanghai. Thank you.
All right, Bill. You're welcome.
As we said, Asian markets in general were higher today. Hong Kong's Hang Seng benchmark up 2.5%. Japan's Nikkei up more than 0.75%. Major European shares are up 1 to 2.5% at this hour. The Dow, though, closed down about 0.5% yesterday at 6,726. The Dow's lost 52% of value since its high just a year and a half ago. The S&P 500 is below 700, its lowest level since 1996. U.S. retailers Costco and Big Lots reported quarterly profits this morning. Costco's profit decline was even larger than Wall Street expected. Big Lots was down as well. Costco cut its prices to get some market share during the year-end holiday season.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions. Software based on how people really work.
A study out this morning shows that 1 in 5 U.S. homeowners owe more to their mortgage lenders than their homes are worth, and that number will rise as the housing slump spreads. Here's Marketplace's Jennifer Collins.
It's no secret that price declines have ravaged the housing market. But a study by American CoreLogic shows that more and more homeowners have negative equity. Real estate agents often call that being underwater. The study shows more than 8 million properties were underwater at the end of last year. That's up 9% from the quarter before. Experts say 62% of underwater borrowers come from six states: Arizona, California, Florida, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, and Ohio. Those borrowers account for 41% of mortgages there. New York is in the best shape when it comes to homes with negative equity. Around the country, 20% of borrowers are underwater. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Swiss banking colossus UBS lost its CEO last week. Now its chairman's on the way out. Peter Kurer says he'll step down in April at the end of his one-year term. UBS shares have fallen by a third this year, and the bank took a government bailout last fall. UBS is also embroiled in a fight with U.S. tax officials. The IRS accuses the bank of helping rich Americans skip out on their taxes. Today, a Senate committee holds a hearing into those famous unnamed Swiss bank accounts. Mitchell Hartman has our story.
U.S. authorities are suing UBS. They want financial data on as many as 52,000 Americans who are allegedly using secret Swiss accounts to avoid income tax. Sponsors of a law to crack the code of international bank secrecy say we lose $100 billion a year to this kind of fraud.
It's about 5% of the income tax revenues that we collect now.
That's Bob McIntyre of Citizens for Tax Justice. His group wants the IRS to increase staffing and hunt down these tax cheats.
In terms of the bang for the buck, for every IRS agent you had working on this, paying them $100,000 or whatever it costs, you'd probably collect 50 times as much because there's so much money out there.
But defenders of Switzerland's long tradition of bank secrecy say not everyone who has an account with them is dodging the tax man. They say that many depositors have legitimate privacy concerns and shouldn't be exposed to a global scavenger hunt for hidden wealth by the IRS. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
As always, we'd love to hear your opinions. Visit us at marketplace.org and click on Contact. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.